Well, there's no question, Mitch, that not only am I lucky, but I'm blessed. I always had the support of my parents, my wife, Allison, my employer, my community. People hated my illness, but they continued to love me despite it and despite my behavior. Addiction does not discriminate, and neither should recovery. And my story should not be the exception. It should be the rule. Just because somebody does not necessarily have the resources or the support that I had doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to find recovery. I think we do a terrible job in this country of not only recognizing the problems caused by addiction, but also recognizing the solution, the fact that treatment does work and recovery is possible. And it shouldn't be because of your last name or because of your economic circumstance that recovery finds you. We in this country need to begin to recognize that addiction is a major chronic illness, and that that recovery is possible when people get treatment, sometimes more than once. So in my own case, Mitch, I'm really lucky. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed because I had the resources. I had the commitment of my family and my employer, and I ultimately found the need and the opportunity to take personal responsibility for accepting the help that was offered me and managing my chronic illness to the point that I have been in clean and sober continuously since October of 1994.
Now, part of your job at Hazelden is in public policy, where you're trying to advocate, work with politicians to get funding and to get more resources put to addiction treatment and the like. I think one of the things you write in the book about is how people don't talk about this because obviously there's some shame involved, whether it's somebody who's been involved with drugs or alcohol or a family member or loved one. So maybe that constituency, like there is for, say, cancer or other maladies, isn't there necessarily for this because people don't necessarily want to talk about it publicly.
That's right. The shame, the stigma, the public misperception, the public policy surrounding alcoholism and drug dependence are barriers like no other. The shame, the stigma, the public indifference, the public intolerance are all obstacles to recovery. They're all obstacles that get in the way of people asking for help, that get in the way of people getting help. Some of the work that I do is down in Florida at the legislature in Tallahassee and elsewhere across the state. In fact, I was in Tampa in May doing a program for public television down there to help put an accurate face, not just on the problem of addiction, but to also put an accurate face on the solution, treatment. I'm trying to get people across Florida and across this country to stand up and speak out and to say, this is what alcoholism looks like. This is what recovery looks like. Addiction doesn't discriminate, and neither should recovery. I've never seen an illness with such shame and stigma that oftentimes get in the way of people asking for help and prevent people from getting the help that they need and deserve.
We're speaking with William Cope Moyers, author of the new book in paperback, the new book, Broken, My Story of Addiction and Redemption. And one of the passages, William, in the book that's so intense is when you go to Harlem and you hang out. I think you were living in St. Paul at the time, flew back because you had some business to attend to back in New York. But basically for 6 days and nights, did crack cocaine straight through almost the whole time, not changing your clothes, not showering, the like. And at one point, the guy you were hanging out with, your partner, says, or you mentioned something about your wife, and he just has a double take and goes, "You're married? Gosh, you should call your wife." And you do, of course, and you ultimately leave that situation. But obviously, you were so into the drugs and so into doing what you were doing. Obviously, you're so forthright in your book talking about this, but is that painful for you to look back on that or to discuss that?
Yes, writing my book required me to take a hard look at all of those years while under the influence. And during that process, I had to come to grips with, a lot of the anguish and the hurt, the pain that I caused a lot of people, from my wife to my parents to my bosses at work. Part of the accountability process for recovery includes making amends, accepting the fact that I caused a lot of problems, and the best way to make those amends, the best way not to repeat those problems, is to live a life of recovery, which I've been doing now for 13 years. But there's no doubt that addiction had flattened me, it had robbed me of all the things that mattered the most to me: my sanity, my physical health, my mental health, my relationships, my employment. Addiction sucks everything out of people like me to the point that we become emotionally, morally, financially, and even spiritually bankrupt. And it was only at that point where I hit bottom finally in 1994 that I realized that if I didn't take responsibility and begin to pick up the tools that were being given me, that I was going to die from this disease.